Amen. And so again, just welcome to Charity Bible. It is a blessing to see you. As you notice, we have a clean slate. I wiped the board off. After this week, we're going to start getting into something a little bit old but new. I'm praying, well, not praying, the Lord has put on my heart to go back to a teaching I did a couple years ago about how Jesus builds the church. He said, I will build the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Well, we're going to be really, last time I taught this, it took a year. All right, it probably won't take that much because this is kind of like a rerun. It might take that much or more. Who knows? There's a lot of information in that teaching. But as we're coming closer and closer and closer to the day of the Lord, we need to know who and how and why you become the church. Because church is not this building. The church is individuals inside of this building. And we're going to be looking into that. So keep me in prayer. And last time I did it on that wee little small chalkboard over there, now I've got this massive 4x16 chalkboard that we can work on. And so we'll get that laid out there as we go. But as for today, we're going to, hopefully by the grace of God, really look into this next and hopefully final test to see whether you are in this in the Spirit or not. Either you are born again or you're not. We're told, and this is where we got this last teaching from, to examine yourself. We're told that twice in 1 Corinthians and in 2 Corinthians, to examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith or not, and prove for yourselves whether you are in faith or not. And in Philippians 2, verse 12, the latter part of verse 12, as you have always obeyed, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's where God has got this message here today. This is a test that you can test yourself to see whether you be in the faith. You don't have, I'm not taking this test for you. You got to take this test for yourself. I had to take this test all week. Amen. And as we get into the scripture today, and as we look at one, like I talked about last week, you can actually go to almost any account in the Word of God and test yourself against that account and to see whether you're really and truly saved, really and truly born again or not. And that's between you and God. Amen. That is your relationship with the Lord. And but there are things that we can look at. There are identifying markers in our lives whether you can know whether you're saved or not. God already knows it. Question is do you know it? And the other question that goes along with this, and we're going to talk about this today, does the world know it? Because it's more than just you and God knowing it. That's great. But the world needs to know it. You need to be living in light as He is light. We're going to be unrolling that a little bit today. Dear Father, we do love you. We praise you. We thank you for the time that we're going to spend together. I thank you, Lord God, for the word that you have given us, Lord Jesus. And I want us to know within ourselves the reality of the risen Savior, the reality of God and His love for the church, the reality of salvation, Father, that we indeed might know that we have eternal life. And Lord, as we go through this, today, I pray that I would increasingly decrease, that your word would increase mightily. Father, that we would see the righteousness of God enveloping the believer and changing their thoughts to your thoughts, their will to your will. I ask that you would do that within the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. First of all, I want you to know that you can know that you are saved, all right? There is some facts, there's some things it says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. We will be in 1 John just about all day, except for Matthew and Isaiah and Acts and 1 Corinthians, all right? So, except for those other places, we'll be in 1 John, except for those other six. And so, 1 John 5:13 says this, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. All right? These things I have written, John, the witness of Jesus Christ, the apostle of Jesus Christ said, I have written you these things. What are these things? 1 John chapter 1, all the way up until 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. All those things he has written unto you that you might know, that you can have a certain confidence, that you may know ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So the things I saw there right to start with is you got to know Jesus Christ. Remember, we started a couple weeks ago, or maybe a month, that you have to walk with God. You have to know that he is real and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That reward is eternal life, all right? Because you're after this life, you're going one of two places, eternal life or eternal death. You will be dying a slow, miserable, tormented death for all of eternity, or you're going to be living with Jesus Christ in all of eternity in his glory, in his light, in his comfort, in his kingdom, or you won't be. There is no dividing line. You're either in or you're out. There's only two kinds of human beings on this planet, and it is either you are born again or you are lost. There is nothing else. There's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no rich, there's no poor. God's not concerned whether you are male or a female. He's concerned about one thing and one thing alone. Do you have eternal life? And John wrote to us some tests that we can take, that we can know that we have eternal life. Anybody ready to take the test? All right. I gave out some little pamphlets today. If you don't have a pamphlet or if you need a piece of paper, let me know, because this is a test. This is your life. Amen. This is a test to really see, are you in Christ Jesus, or are you just verbally confessing without a real relationship with God? I don't want you to come short of any spiritual gift. I want you to know. See, thank you, Lord God, for this. When I witness to somebody about life and life eternal, I need to know that I have it. I need to have a great confidence that the God who wrote the Word of God that became flesh, is dwelling in me and has given me direction and a high command to go and make disciples. So I've got to have that concreted in my life. And there are evidences of that. There are things that I can double check in my life, in my heart, in my actions, whether I be in the faith or not. And these are not tests, or this is not a test that is just for a little moment, because who here has sinned today? Every single one of you, and me too. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have all come short of the high calling of Christ. But God. But God. We're going to look at that by the will of God today. And so we will be starting in 1 John chapter 1. I bet you Joshua already knew that that's where we're going, 1 John. If you're going to talk about John, 1 John is good to begin in the beginning of it. And so he is telling us in 1 John 1 and 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. I'm not John, I have not done these things. But I'm going to take his testimony that he did handle the word of life. All right, he did handle Jesus. I'm going to take it upon his testimony that he was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he saw Jesus' glory coming out of him. All right, I'm going to take it on his testimony that Jesus walked on the sea. I'm going to take it on his testimony that God spoke into the darkness and light happened. Amen. I'm going to take it on his testimony. I'm going to believe it by faith. And God's going to take that belief and he's going to give it to me as righteousness. Not that I deserve it, but because he did it. Amen. I have eternal life in Christ Jesus, not because of my work, but because of the testimony and the living work of Jesus Christ on this planet, not just yesterday, but today, and not just today, but for tomorrow also. We need to know that. For verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and show unto you eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen? Woo-hoo-hoo. Amen, praise God, because this is the message. All right, he said, all of that, these are the things I've seen. Joshua, John said, I've seen these things. Wendy, I've seen these things. John said, I see these things. I'm bearing you witness, and my witness is true. I handled them. I talked with him. I ate with him. When Jesus took the little bit of fish and a little bit of bread, I was there. I helped pass it out, and then I helped to take up the fragments afterward. After that, we got on a boat. We head across the sea, and Jesus met us in the middle of the stormy sea. I was there. I was a partaker of that. Do you believe it? Yes. I absolutely believe it. I absolutely believe it. I have not seen it, but I got faith in it. And Jesus is taking that faith, like I said, and he's propitiating that on me, not because of my righteousness, but because of his righteousness, what he did. And I believe that to the point that I adjust this life, these arms, these legs, this brain, this graying hair to his truth, not to what I think, because how often has my thought been incorrect? But what his word says is absolute fact. So he said, I'm writing these things unto you that you might believe. All right, and this is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This is test one. God is light. Light means righteousness, holiness, a fullness, a completeness. In him there is no sin. None. Not a drop. There's not a lie. There's not a theft. There's not anything that is ungodly, unrighteous in the Father or in the Son, or in the Holy Spirit, or in the written word of God. There is nothing in this that is not absolute, pure, blinding light. And this we say, we have fellowship with him, we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. This is your test. All right? And I'm going to ask you, do adjust your sets. All right? This is like that warning that they give you on the radio that says, this is not a test. Don't make any adjustments. This is a test. Make the necessary adjustments. Because you don't know, I cannot promise you your next breath, your next heartbeat. I can promise you this, that when you die, you go into eternity and you will be either eternal with Jesus Christ or eternal cast away from him. And there is no turning back. There is no, purgatory. There is no purgatory. The only purgatory I know was a Clint Eastwood Western. There's a town called Purgatory. That's the only purgatory there is. There is no purgatory in the Bible. And if we say that we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, you are a liar, and no liar has any part in the kingdom of God. All right, so you say that you're Christian, you say that you're walking, that you are part of the light. Are you? Well, how are you now? Hey, you can test that. You can test that. You can put that against the scripture and see that if you are or not. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from most of sin. Yeah. Say that again. Are you sure that's what it says? Amen. All. It says he will cleanse you from all sin. But you got to do something. You got to walk in the light.
You've got to walk in the holiness. You've got to walk in the righteousness. You've got to love the commandments and the statutes of God. You've got to love your brother better than you love yourself. My brother over here, Dean, is talking about him and his daughter is going through some scripture, and they got to the place where Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples. Amen. Great, great scripture. What was Jesus doing? He was giving them example of servanthood. You got to die to yourself to live righteously. You cannot have your will and his will. You cannot serve mammon and God. You can't serve them both. Make up your mind today which side you're going to be on. What side is right? What side is wrong? You make that decision. And if you choose to walk in darkness, I dare say you are condemning your soul to eternal damnation. If you choose darkness. I'm not saying that we don't walk in darkness. We do. But we are surrounded by the light of God. Do you love the light more than you love the darkness? How are we going to reach this lost and dying generation? Boy, we better be reflecting Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Thank you, Lord. Because it's not my light that I'm talking about. I'm talking about His light. It's not my righteousness I'm talking about, because in me there dwelleth no good thing. But the righteousness of God, the goodness of God, the holiness of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit that is dwelling within me is supposed to reflect Jesus Christ, not just in word, but also in deed. There's a lot of people proclaiming it in word. But if you look at the Church of America, there are just as many divorces in America as there is in the world. There's just as much fornication in the church as there is in the world. There's just as much lying in the church, cheating on your taxes, this is IRS time, as there is in the world. There's just as much lying in the church as there is in the world. We say that we have fellowship with Him, but we're walking and living in darkness. Liar, liar, guess what's going to happen? Your pants going to be on fire. It's going to happen. You need to get right with Jesus Christ today. You need to make up your mind whose side you're on. And then, not just make up, start doing it. You need to be in the light as He is in the light. And how much of the light is in the Father? All. All. There ain't no darkness in Him. There ain't no sin in Him. There ain't no unrighteousness in Him. But I'm a black spot. Amen. And again, but God. See, I cannot rely on my righteousness to get me good with God. I got to rely on God to get me right with God. I've got to rely on His way, His will, His thoughts, not my thoughts. And when we say we have no sin, if we say we have no, those folks who think that I've made it, Pastor Curtis Fitz. Yep. I was a deacon before this, I was that, before it's all. I am so good, look at me. I'd love to pat myself on the back, but it gives me a cramp every time I do it. Can't do it. If I say I have no sin, I'm deceiving myself. Right? You can come here and act all holy, and you might deceive me, and I might deceive you. Right, Wendy? You look pretty good on Sunday and Wednesday, but the rest of the week you look like holy hell or unholy hell. Listen, folks, you might deceive one another, but you ain't fooling God. You are not fooling the one who's going to judge you. See, praise God for that. Tom, I'm not going to stand and judge you for your sin. You know why? I'm just as rotten as you are. There ain't no difference between me and you. There ain't no difference between me. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Savior, the Creator of the world, the living Word of God, and He's going to judge me. And He's going to judge me one of two ways. What did I believe about this Son? What did I believe about Jesus Christ? How did I walk with Him? How did I serve Him? How did I die to myself that He might live through me? How was I an example, a reflection of the Most High God while I walked on this earth? That's how I'm going to be judged. If I walk in darkness and say I have no, or if I say I have no sin, I'm a liar. All right? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Huh. Wait a minute. If I say that I'm right before God and I know that I'm living in sin, the truth is not in us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me, Jesus said, John 14:6. I am the way. I am the truth. He says that if you're living that way, there is no truth in you. If there is no truth in you, that means darkness is ruling you. And if darkness is ruling you, you have no reward in the kingdom of light.
Whoa. For if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2. My little children. Oh, excuse me, I skipped 9. All right, sorry about that. I've got to keep my finger there. So 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have an advocate with the Father. Amen. All those things I've said, and I'm trying not to make you feel real bad. I'm trying to make you feel bad, but not real bad. All right? I want you to feel real bad. Because we all have done this. We all live as sinners in a fallen world. But if we're honest with God, we confess our sin before God. Why was David a man after God's own heart? It wasn't because he didn't do adultery. It wasn't because he didn't murder. In fact, he had so much blood on his hands, he couldn't even build the temple of God. He repented often. He knew how to come and be honest before God. He knew how to confess his sin before God. When he lived in sin after he committed murder with Uriah and having sex with Bathsheba, after those things happened, he said that he had no rest in his bones. All those years that he was doing that, that time that he spent away from God, that the heavens were sealed up like iron or like steel above his head. His prayers weren't being heard and he was being vexed day and night, sore. His bones were aching until the prophet, what was that prophet's name?
Was it Nathan?
Nathan. Until Nathan Detroit, right? From Guys and Dolls. Till Nathan came and met him and he gave him this story about a little lamb, a little girl who had one simple little sheep, and then some rich guy came and took it and slaughtered it. And David said, that man should die. And Nathan said, that's you, Dave.
You're the man.
You're the man. You're the man. You did this thing. See, God already knew his sin. God knew that he was hiding his sin. And God sent the man of God to say, repent and come out, lest I come against you and kill you. David was broken. Oh, praise God for that. He wept bitterly and he repented of his sin. And guess what he found? Forgiveness. He found health. He found a renewal. How many of us, when we pray, think our prayers, we know that our prayers aren't going any further than our head? I'm telling you, there's unconfessed sin in your life. Amen? You want to have a right relationship with God, get right with God. And then you know. Then I know that God hears my prayers. Why? Because I confess it to him. I pray to him. And I know, beyond a shadow of doubt, I know he hears my prayer. That's a confidence. That's how I know that I am born of God. That's how I know I have eternal life.
It's interesting to David that while there was forgiveness, there were still earthly consequences.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amen. Oh, my folks. Yeah. Well, all of Israel got... The scars of my sin, I still carry. In fact, the scars of my sin, Jesus still carries. You know that? My sin that pierced him in the side, my sin that put the crown of thorns on his head, my sin that nailed him to the cross, my sin that caused him to be scourged, he still carries those scars today. So yeah, you're right. Sin has an everlasting effect. But God. Amen. But God. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation of our sin, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Well, how do you know God? If you keep his commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, then guess what? You don't know God. Amen? It's real simple. These are tests. These are simple. This is a simple test. It's a simple test that I have tried myself and found myself wanting continuously. And I always got to come back to God, confessing my sin before Him. And so, oh my goodness, it's so much in here. So anyhow, back to light and darkness. We're gonna back up to that. All right. First John, I guess next week we'll do Second John. All right, because Second John has a different. All right, we won't get to the thing I told you we're going to get to for a little while because we got to finish this. All right. Thank you, Lord, for that. Pardon? Okay.
That was me, Curtis.
Oh, was it? Okay. Praise God.
Read a little bit more, brother.
Read a little bit more? All right. I got you. All right. And he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, that hereby know we that we are in him, that he saith he abideth in him, he that saith that he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Brethren, I write to you no new commandment. Thank you, Joshua, for that. I write to you no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is in the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion for stumbling in him. Wow. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. Praise God, because I'm going to get to light and darkness. Thanks, John. I would have missed this again. Hey, thanks God. Well, the Holy Spirit's in you, right? And you knew, or God knew, that I was going to jump into this next thing about being the light in Matthew. You know, but this here, if, you need to understand if we are holding malice or hatred toward our brother. Now, it's not just talking about in the church. Who's your brother? Who is made in the image and the likeness of God? Every single human being. Every single human being. Doesn't mean I got to like you. And whoo, praise God for that. I do got to love you. I got to love you because who God is in you. Wendy, you know, we got differences, right? You're always right. I'm always wrong. There's just a... There's a thing. And I agree with you. You know, there's always that thing. There's always that rub. But you know what? I love you. Amen? I love you. Tom, me and you, we bump heads from time to time. Right?
A little bit.
That's because, but we love each other.
Amen.
We come back together. Joshua, we never have anything. But I love you, right? You love me. That's how I know that I'm in the Father. I can take the differences of other people and love you through that. That's the commandment that God gave us. Praise God, I ain't got to like you, right? I don't even like you. Tom, you say it all the time. I don't like myself, right? I don't like the sin that is in me. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Praise God the Father for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so he delivers us from that. But we are supposed to be light. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be the love of God manifested on this earth in fleshly forms. Matthew chapter 6 and chapter 5. So we'll get into both of those. Oh, I went all the way to Jeremiah. Man. Excuse me. So this light we're supposed to walk in, this holiness, this righteousness, is in the Beatitudes. This needs to be your attitude. It's in the Beatitudes. And so we'll start in chapter 6, and then we'll back up to chapter 5. No, I got that backwards. We'll be in chapter 5, verses 11 first. all right, you being part of the light here. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil of you against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast down and trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but lighteth the candlestick, on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but fulfill.
Amen.
Amen. So you are supposed, remember we looked in 1 John, he said that you're supposed to be the light. In God is light. There's no darkness at all. Here in Matthew, he tells us that we're supposed to be salt and we're supposed to be light. He tells us that if we're light, if we're salt and we lose our savor, we ain't good for nothing to God. You claim yourself a Christian, you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you lost the savor of the Savior. Wow. How you like that? Who did that BAM thing? Emerald. Cajun cooking guy. BAM! Right? And so, you lost the savor of the Savior. And when you lose the savor of the Savior, you're good for nothing to be except to be walked on by man. We're called to be light. And see, the light that I need to be showing is not the light of Curtis Fitz. The light I need to be showing is the light of God. That they may see my good works and glorify Curtis, right? They're going to see my good works. They're going to see Joshua's good work. They're going to glorify Joshua or Tom. Tom's such a great teacher. I wish I could remember scripture like he does. Tom ain't squat.
Amen.
You know? He ain't. I'm not squat. Joshua ain't squat. We need to be reflecting Jesus Christ. His life, his love, his power. He shines on us because in God is light. There's no darkness at all. He shines on us. And he makes me reflect his love. He makes me reflect his goodness. He makes me reflect his joy. Even if I am a dirty mirror, you know, even a dirty mirror reflects light. A clean mirror reflects much better light, but it still reflects light. So you let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Wow. So I'm supposed to have works? Well, yeah. What's your work? Love.
Amen.
What is your work? To love.
Amen.
What was Jesus' work? To love. To seek that which was lost and return it to the love of God. We're supposed to seek that which is lost and return it to the love of God. All right. Jesus said, I didn't come till heaven and earth shall pass away. Not one jot, not one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Right? And so, then he warns, praise God for this. You know, Tom, we always talk about the false teachers and stuff like that. Jesus got a plan for them right here. Right? In this next little bit, I don't have to worry about what Joe Smith is teaching down the street. He's teaching false doctrine. People got the Bible. They don't have to believe it. Right? Here's what Jesus said. Verily I say to unto, well, next verse. Whosoever therefore breaks one of these commandments and so teach and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I say unto you, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Baptist and the Catholics, no, the scribes and the Pharisees, right? You shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So those who aren't teaching the right God, the right gospel, they ain't even going in. They're not even going into the kingdom of heaven. They're not going into the righteousness of God. They're not going into the fullness of the Lord. So this light that we're supposed to know and to have is supposed to reflect Jesus Christ and all that we say and do, right? That's what it was there for. That's what it's all about. And the next chapter, 6, all of it's good, right? Because these are the Beatitudes, all of it's good. There's none of this here is bad. But we're going to pick up in, well, I wasn't going to do 8, but since, yeah, we're going to do 18 through 24, all right? Or you can go the whole thing. Anyhow, 18 is a bad place to start. Anyhow, I'm going to talk about fasting because it was brought up to me today. When we fast, all right, amen? We need to fast. We do fast. We're supposed to fast. When was the last time any of us really fasted? And there are some folks who say, well, I'm going to fast from my favorite TV show. Okay, but that's pretty shallow. That's not a hard thing to fast from. Fast from your fatness. Fast from food. Amen? That's a real fast. That's a fast that God... Actually, fast from your sinfulness. That's a fast that God will honor. But when you fast, don't just blab it everywhere. It is okay, because I don't want to sound this like it's condemning. It is okay to come along other, like if I'm going to fast, I'll tell Wendy, I'll tell Kevin, I'll tell Tom. Why? Because they'll come along. They don't have to join me, but they will pray with me for that. Amen? And so I was told today about a fast, and I'm going to pray with that. Those individuals that said that they're going to do this, I'm going to pray with them that God shows them the things they need to see through their fast. Praise God. So there's nothing wrong with saying to certain individuals that you're going to fast. All right? I don't want to get there. But when you do it for the world to see, you put on your raggedy clothes. Oh, you make your face. Oh, I'm fasting. Look at me. How good am I? All right. When you do that, you got your reward. It's over. It ain't going no further than living in sin and praying. It's only going to the ceiling and getting no higher than that. So when you fast the right way and you confess it before the Father. And so in this fasting, we're going to look at it real quick, and then we'll get to what I was talking over. Moreover, when you fast, verse 16, all right, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you fast, when thou fast, anoint thine head and wash your face. So when you get into a fast, I can tell Justin that I'm going to fast and he's going to pray for me. But the rest of the world's not going to see a difference. I'm going to get up. I'm going to brush my teeth. I'm going to do everything that I normally do in the day. I'm not going to look to the world that I'm fasting. Nobody else out there in the world is going to know but me and God. And the person I shared that I need prayer, because fasting's hard to do. You're opening up spiritual warfare. And I need Alan to pray for me when I go into a fast. Men who know the Lord, I need Joshua. Justin, I need folks to pray for me when I go into that, because you're opening up, you're ripping the veil of your flesh and going into spiritual warfare, and it's more difficult than you think. Amen? It's not just the doing without food, but it's fighting that spiritual fight that fasting brings around. And so don't show it just to every man. But unto the Father, verse 18, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen? Woohoo! Praise God. I'm going to fast that God sees it, and he's going to reward me for it. Lay not up your treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and thieves break in and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. All right. Did you see what Jesus just said? The thing you're serving, that's who your God is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be filled with light. The singleness of the eye. I have my eye on the narrow way. I'm walking the tightrope. I'm following Jesus. I'm not going to the right hand. I'm not going to the left hand. I have a singleness for the kingdom of heaven of God. I'm not letting this world lust and desire move me to the right hand or to the left hand. I have a singleness of light, sight. Amen. And it says when I have that, my whole body is going to be filled with light, which God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. So I'm going to have that light. I'm going to be seeking that light. I'm going to be walking in that light. He is going to be the propitiation, the covering, the light that surrounds me, and he's going to guide me into all righteousness. Praise God. All right? But if thine eye be evil, if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be filled. I skipped a part again. Sorry. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. No, I didn't. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be filled with darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? All right, these are the people who confess Jesus Christ with their mouth and don't walk in the light. You say you're in the light, but you're not in the light. You're living in sin and you're saying it is righteousness. You're saying that what the Word of God says that is truth, you say, no, it's not. All right? In you, you're bathing in the darkness and you're disguising it as light. Right? You're living in sin as a Christian. And you're, this is not just falling over in sin. This is willfully saying, I am going to do my will, not what the Word of God says. I'm going to walk in darkness and call it light. I'm going to steal and say it's okay. I'm going to murder and say it's okay. I'm going to, Alan was talking this morning about a whole tractor trailer load of aborted children found. Okay, well, all right, the aborted children, my heart hurts for them, but they're already in their, they're in their reward. Amen? I worry about the parents who think that is the right thing to do. Those young impressionable minds that are going to this public education place and are being twisted the righteousness of God. They're saying that you were made of a monkey's uncle. You fell out of a tree a gazillion million light years ago. And there is no real God. And you believe those. I really think the folks that believe that as light. It's darkness, but they believe it as light. Murdering your children in the womb is darkness, but they believe it as light. Having sex outside of marriage, that is darkness, but they believe it as light. Amen? Now, stealing, they believe that it is righteous to steal. If I need it, I can steal for it. God says it's darkness. They believe it as light. Well, I'm only stealing from the insurance company. No. I pay insurance. That means you're stealing from me. Right? Right? Yeah. Those things, we say that we're in the light, and there's a whole list of these that you can check yourself. So you say you're in the light, but you're really in darkness, but you say that darkness you see is actually light. Blasphemy. It's blasphemy. Well, it's blasphemy, but in a dip, because it's ongoing darkness. Who here has ever been in real pitch black? Amen? You've been in a cave and they turn off the lights?
Yeah, salt mine.
Salt mine, amen. I was in Ruby Mountain, all right, Chattanooga, Tennessee. Went into a cave, we went into the back. I don't think they do this anymore, but they turned off all the lights.
Definitely has a feeling.
There's a weight to the darkness. But I also heard that if you stay in that darkness long enough, you'll start seeing light. Now, it's absolutely dark. There is no light. But you think you're seeing light. The soul of the Christian living in sin is surrounded in darkness, and they start covering it over. You live in that darkness long enough, you will perceive that darkness as light. How deep does the darkness have to be that you can see the unrighteous works of man and call that the righteous works of God? How deep is that? God is really plain. He's really squared away. Praise God. God's really squared away. God knows these things. There's a place in Isaiah chapter 5, and I was praying about that the other day, and God said, look at Isaiah. I said, yeah, I've read Isaiah. It's so long, so hard to read. Praise God, I didn't have to read far. It was in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 through 25. Isaiah chapter 5, there's a lot of woes in here, amen. But this is one woe, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. These are tests, all right? This is a test. If you know that what you're doing is darkness and you're calling it light, when God says woe, not only is he meaning stop, this should be putting a certain dread into your life. The fear of God ought to be running through you. If you know that you're watching pornography and you're calling yourself a Christian, whoa. There are pastors that are caught by that demonic thing. Drunkenness, drug addicts, oh my goodness. There are so many things. Whoa, it is darkness. You're calling it lying, cheating, stealing, not honoring your mother and father. There's actually 10 commandments that you could go through and go through every one of them, right? Woe unto you that call darkness light and light darkness. Woe unto them, verse 21, that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, that justify the wicked for reward. In America today, you can go into a store with all your buddies, break all the glass, steal all the stuff, and you get a reward for it. In New York, they don't even send you to jail. Yet there's no recompense for the evil that they do. Wow.
Be in Washington on the 6th.
Yeah. Amen. Now, if you do good, then they punish you for unrighteousness. A pastor in Florida preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, just simply reading the Bible, they came and arrested him. When O'Biden was standing up and giving his thing, a man who was a father of two fallen soldiers called out their name during that, and they arrested that man and put him in jail. Woe unto a nation that calls light darkness and darkness light, which justify wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the fire consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Woo! Didn't that just send chills up your spine? It did me. It messed my head up. How many Christians, so-called born-again believers, are living in darkness and calling it light? Are agreeing with same-sex marriage? As long as you love one another, no. Are willfully in their teenage years going out and giving their selves away to the first fellow with a six pack or the first girl with a six pack. I'm talking about beer, not ruffly bellies. All right? They give themselves away. There used to be a shame for unwed pregnancies. There isn't anymore. Now they just say, kill it. Don't worry about it. There used to be a shame about damaging your parents' name. Have we gone so far out of the righteousness of God as a nation that we don't even see these things as darkness anymore? There's just a couple more.
Oh, praise God. Oh. No, this is two together. All right, because you didn't stop it. You just paused it.
Oh.
Yeah, all right. So, because I don't think I've been preaching for an hour and 45 minutes. Not quite. So I think I've been preaching for about an hour. All right, that good for everybody? So I got about an hour left. No, we're almost to the end of this. Acts chapter 26. And this is Paul. He's giving his testimony to Agrippa. And if you don't know who Agrippa is, read your Bible. I ain't got time to tell you all of it. But Agrippa is the king, right, in Paul's time. And Paul is giving his testimony that he received from the Lord on the road to Damascus. And in verse 14, verse 12. Upon as I went to Damascus with authority and a commission from the chief priest at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Praise God. And it was above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? Church, you're being surrounded by the light of God. You're hearing what God is telling you to do. Isn't it hard for you to fight against the pricks? Pricks are on an oxen yoke. There were two pricks, and that's how you stirred the ox. You oxen, us oxen, is not God, even through this sermon, giving you direction? He's giving you direction, which way to go, what to do. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Praise God. When the world is persecuting the church, who are they really persecuting? Jesus. When the people said back in the Old Testament, we want a king, Samuel. We don't want to follow God. We don't want God to be our king. We want a king like the rest of the world has. And Samuel's heart was broken over it. And God said, don't worry about it. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. I will give them a king, but he's going to be worse to them than they ever dreamed. When we walk in the darkness and call him a king, God will let you have that. He will give you, oh, Biden, another 4 years. You know that?
Yep.
He will. Or even worse, he might give you Trump. Right? And, you know, and you think he can be a lot worse than what he is. He really can be. He can get a lot. I mean, praise God, I like what he did the first go around. And I think, Whatever the people are crying for the loudest, that's what God's going to give you. Right now, the Church of America is living so deep inside of darkness, they don't even recognize light when it hits them in the eye. So, and he says, but arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both to these things which thou hast seen, and of those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open the eyes. This is our call right here, okay? This is what this sermon's all about. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins, and inherit among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Christ Jesus. It says me, but I don't want you to get confused there. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. Jesus is talking here. So our call, first we need to be in the light as he is in the light. If we say we're in the light but we live in darkness, we're a liar. We found that out. Then we also saw in Isaiah where he tells us that woe to them that call good evil and evil good. We read through that. We also read where you're supposed to be the light. You're supposed to be set on a hill. And if you're not showing the light of God, if you're covering that under a bushel, then you're doing great harm. People are supposed to see your light and glorify your God who's in heaven. Our call from God is to deliver thee from the people, to open their eyes. We are supposed to open the eyes of those who are in darkness. We're supposed to open their eyes by the truth of God's word, by the love of God, by the power of the Most High in us. We're supposed to open their eyes to show them the righteousness that's in them, that they can be, that the kingdom of God is in them, that the word of God is not far off, that it's close, even in their mouth. That's our job. But how can we do that if we're living in darkness? If we're willfully turning away from the light of God and embracing the sin of my flesh, the lust of my eyes, the pride of my life. Amen. How can I lead somebody if I'm walking in darkness? If the blind are leading the blind, they're both going to fall into the ditch. Come to the light as he is in the light. Be honest with him. Confess your sin before him. And then you will have the power, the authority to deliver the deaf. The power, the authority to deliver the blind. The power, the authority to help the lame walk. Oh, amen. But we got to have the light first to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Oh, I have power as I walk in the light to give people direction out of the darkness of hell, out of the bonds of hell, into the light of Jesus Christ. But I've got to get right first. I've got to live in the light of God first. If I am blind and the light that I see is actually darkness, how can I lead somebody into the light? I can't. But I have the Word of God that is the light of the world. I have Jesus Christ, and I can know that I have eternal life. I can know that I have a promise from the Most High God. I can be certain of that. But I've got to do it. I've got to want it so bad. I've got to need it within myself to such a degree that it changes me, that I embrace the light, that I embrace the truth of God, that I reject the darkness, because in God there is no darkness at all. I've got to look at my life and understand the sin that is in me. And I need to trust God enough to bring it before him, confess it to him. If I say I have no sin, I'm a liar and the truth isn't in me. But if I confess my sin, he is faithful. He is just. And he will repair me. He will restore me. He will renew you. But you got to do it. You got it. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But Jesus did it for us all. He is the advocate between the Father and a lost and dying world.
He's the
and
only way.
He is the only way.
No other way.
No other way. Amen.
He says, sanctified by faith that is in me.
Me. Amen.
He's exclusive.
Yes.
No other way but by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you better get him right, because there's a lot of false Christ out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
John
Jehovah
says
Witness,
that.
Mormonism, Seventh-day. There's a wrong Christ out there that's being preached into this world that is not him.
You got to be baptized in the church.
Right.
That's a false doctrine. Speak in tongues or you can't be saved. That's a false doctrine.
Amen.
Do your own good works and you'll be saved. That's a false doctrine.
Gets all of us.
It gets all. He gets all of us. That garbage they're spewing over the box. Some have a huge screen in their houses. 36 by 89. I don't know. It's a huge thing. It takes up two walls. It's so big. They got it on two walls. Covers the windows of their house. But they worship that thing. God is not mocked.
Amen.
Whatsoever a man sows, he shall reap. America has sown to the wind, and we are reaping the whirlwind right now. Why is the church so weak? It's because we Christians haven't stood and embraced the light. We embrace the darkness. We love our hatred. We love our prejudices. We love our will over his will. I would say it's not all of us, but it's sin. It is all of us. We got to confess it. Folks, we got to get right there. I don't think there's a lot of time to make this right, but we got to get right. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Judge nothing before the time. All right, Wendy, you ain't made it. I ain't judging you till that time. Amen? Bonnie, you're way off. No. We're all way off. Amen? I'm not going to judge you before the time. That's God's job. What I'm going to do is I'm going to come beside you there, Joshua, and me and you, we're going to fight through this thing. We're going to love each other in the midst of our mess, and we're going to struggle together. Dean, I'm not going to condemn you. I love you, and I want you to have the righteousness of God. The tall guy behind you, Matt. I'm not condemning you. I want you to have every spiritual gift, but it starts with walking in the light, understanding the darkness that's in you and the light that God wants you to have, coming out of the darkness and into His glorious light, and then basking in the sun, S-O-N, shine. Right? Basking in the sunshine.
What a day that will be.
Oh, amen. When Jesus' face I shall see. There's coming a day. There's coming a day. But until that day comes, I am going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? You've got to fight the good fight of faith. Can't fight it for you. You got to want it. You've got to. Kevin, you got to want it, brother. You want it? Are you sure?
See ya.
See ya. Why are you?
I'm going to show you my answer. Yes.
Why is everybody picking on me? Yeah. Folks, I love you. I absolutely love you. And I do not want you to come short of any spiritual gift. And if you walk in darkness and you call that light, you're just deceiving yourself. I can go next week to how God builds the church. There are other tests that you can take, but I don't have to tell you what the tests are. You got the whole rule book in front of you, right? Read the book and test yourself against it. When the Holy Spirit says, hey, you're not doing what it says here, then do it. You know, it's really simple, but very difficult. It's simple to understand, but it's difficult to do. Amen? You know why? Because sin lives in me, and I want what I want right now. And God says, stop, wait, trust, pray. And I will fulfill it. Stand ye, and see the power of God. Wow. Get in the light, people. I love you. Father, we praise you. We thank you so much for your word. We do ask, even now, as we're going through this study, Lord Jesus, help us to understand the darkness. Help us to repent from that darkness. Help us to embrace the light of your word and the love of God. Give us strength, Father, because I know in me there dwells no good thing but God. And so, Lord, I thank you for that but God. And I pray that as we go out this week, that we would minister to the lost, that we would love the hurting, that we would pour your light, that they would see the reflection of Christ in your church. Lord, and we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.